Good evening, folks, and welcome to the October episode of Myth Behaving with your favorite myth behaviors, Kari and Rob. How you doing, Rob?
Oh, so spooky today.
How is that different from any other day?
Normally, I'm just, kind of nervous, but today, spooky.
Rob, I don't mean to be offensive, but you are a white male American. You are probably one of the scariest things in the world. Oh, sorry, just kidding.
You're just on a tear today. Wow.
I'm not super wrong, though. I'm just kidding. You're actually one of the loveliest things in the world, and we're grateful to have you. How's your October been?
It's been nice. It finally went below 90 degrees here in Southern California. So when I go running, I don't look like I've just run through a waterfall when I get home. That's lovely. And everything's growing again. So my allergies have kicked in. That's awesome. Oh. Yeah. How about you?
So you've had 90
degrees. Go inside and talk to the cashier. Okay. It's about all you can do.
You're what? Eric, why are you talking? You haven't been introduced yet.
That's an awesome. You want me to introduce him now?
Yeah, you might as well.
Well, Kari, with us today is Eric Lottie. Eric grew up looking for UFOs and buried treasure in northwest New Mexico. Unfortunately, he never found either of them, or maybe he did and he's just not telling. So, maybe we can get the bottom of that today. He did find some good stories to tell at parties about lights in the skies and gold in the ground. When he's not writing, he's programming and practicing his Kenpo. He's also an active blogger, waxing philosophical about a range of topics from writing to martial arts to politics and religion. Frankly, he fancies himself something of a Renaissance geek about a wide variety of things. Eric vacillates between writing, urban fantasy, horror, and magical realism. He's currently working on his first science fiction book. Kari, Eric Lottie.
Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thanks. Sorry about that, guys. I got a desperate phone call from my son, so I was worried that he was going to say, I've just been in Iraq. What do I need to do? But instead, he was having some problems with the gas pump.
Is he? But he's okay.
No, yeah, he's fine.
We're all having problems at the gas pump. It's $2 a liter here. And then
Americans don't know liters. You can't
okay,
see
and I don't
have
know
no clue what a liter is.
And I don't know
how many.
Because when I went to the States in July, we went on a road trip. My buddies and I drove from Toronto to New York City, and I was like, it's like four something a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Over there now, is it still?
It's six in California.
Okay, so I had a meltdown because I just assumed gallon was the same as liter, and then you just used a fancy name, different fancy word. So I was like, what the hell, you guys? And then my buddy's like, no, that's only like a buck something a liter.
Yeah, isn't it like 2.5 liters to a gallon or something along those lines?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Like the metric system is the tool of the devil. I don't care.
All I know.
I thought Canadians love the metric system. I thought you were all about it.
You know, no, not all of us. Maybe some of the Canadians who actually don't have a problem with like math, but it's brutal. Like when you have to change. Whenever, like, listen to me and my problems, I had to change it from American dollars to Canadian dollars. I'm so hard done by, but yeah, it's fine. And I'm glad your son's okay. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you.
I'm really interested to hear. Now, Rob said in your intro, you grew up looking for UFOs.
We actively went out and looked for UFOs. I grew up in Farmington, New Mexico. It's up in the northwestern part of the state. And it's not, a huge UFO area, but there were some sightings out there. And so we'd get bored sometimes on the weekends, and my mom and I would go out and look for UFOs. And I can't say for certain we ever found them, but we did have some lights follow us around, which was kind of weird considering how there's like really nothing up in that area.
Yeah, there's really? Nothing in Farmington.
Like what do you mean by following you around?
We got to understand. I mean, it's like agricultural up there, so it's not like this was a street light or something. Most of the towns that we were working with or going through had like stop signs, and okay. That was about it. But we were coming back late one night from Durango, and there was this just massively bright light off to the west, and it kind of tracked us for about 20 or 30 miles.
Okay, when you say west, is that left or right?
That would be off on the right. Okay.
the right if you're going down. It's the left.
And it was it was an unexplainable bright light. When you say massively bright light, like where was it on the horizon? It was in the sky. It was. Were you scared?
I think we were just kind of like, what the heck is that? Because imagine like a helicopter searchlight.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe a half a mile out, something like that. And there are no helicopters up in that area. There are no searchlights up in that area. It is just crazy little towns. But yeah, it was the only time I've ever seen that. And it was
so it's perfect alien abduction area.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody would notice you. Nobody would care. They'd probably steal your car, but you know, hey.
So like, I wonder if aliens have like humans near me, like if they have like a Google map,
a little map.
And here is a high abduction area, guys. There's no towns, there's no cops, there's just farmlands, and just have at her.
Yeah, a little known thing about the new Android update is, it probably transmits your location to the aliens so that they can just kill you.
What? Are you serious?
No.
Fucking, I blame Elon Musk. That was probably his idea.
It was probably, who are the guys that are in charge of Google? I can't remember. I think as long as the aliens dropped a truckload of cash off to him, they'd say, yeah, we can do that.
If I would do anything if the aliens drop a load of cash to me, and I mean anything, Rob, I would sell you to them so quick.
Oh, you better. Like, seriously. I don't want to hear, like, you got all honorable and moral about me with a truckload of cash on the line.
What did you think now being like, so I'm assuming that you are, and you're a science fiction writer, so obviously you're into like UFOs and aliens. What did you think of when there was that big campaign to go storm the Roswell site? What did you think of that?
Area 51. They were going to
When they were going to storm Area 51.
Yeah. Yeah, they were going to Rudo run into it.
Yeah. My take on that was y'all are going to get shot because that's a fairly closed down base, and they will happily shoot you. So I don't know what's going on out there. I know they've tested things like the SR-71 and the U-2, and they're dead serious about the security. So I was thinking, you know, all these people were saying, well, there's 500 of us, there's 1,000 of us, they can't kill us all. And it's like, yeah, they can.
Yeah,
they will.
They're set up for that exact thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. The American military has no sense of humor.
Actually, they do. The former Air Force Base commander out here used to send out emails to everybody that was on base staff, including contractors, years ago. And one of the things that he said was, he sent out an email saying there were some foreign dignitaries coming in and we weren't supposed to discuss HAARP or the aliens that we've been holding in the base.
I forgot.
But was he kidding? Was he kidding though, or was he covering his bases?
He was kidding.
Yeah. That's what you got to ask yourself. So you think.
True. He actually seemed to have a sense of humor. The person that replaced him had much less of a sense of humor. And we got emails from her that were like, at 5 o'clock, we will be playing taps and you had better stop driving, get out of your car and stand and wait.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, why do you have these emails? Do you live near some sort of military base?
Oh, I worked out at Kirtland Air Force Base as a contract programmer for a while.
Okay. And wow. So do you believe in aliens then? You go looking for them?
It's in Albuquerque, so I don't know that I really want to go out after dark all that much. But yeah, I think that there are very much aliens out there. I find it interesting that NASA's doing all of the UAP stuff all of a sudden. And, you know, we went from like deny to, well, you know, we don't know what's going on. So maybe we ought to start investigating this again. I think that's kind of an interesting twist in the way they're looking at this.
Well, and didn't they have some footage from the Pentagon recently, like in the last couple 2 years?
The Pentagon released, what was it, that F-18 gun cam.
Yeah, all that stuff.
And you know, I couldn't tell you what they saw, but it was interesting. And I don't think it was the Russians that were doing it.
Well, it definitely wasn't Canadians, because I think we have like, I probably shouldn't say this, we have like one plane. We have a lot of planes. We're very tough.
No, we know about, oh my gosh, like 10, 15 years ago, the Canadian Air Force, the one plane you had, you guys had to, you had to break into a museum to get parts for it. I remember this story very distinctly. Really? It's like, It was so Canadian, like, yeah, sorry, we got to break into the museum. It's like, okay, guys.
No, like they would have sent an email and Vince, hi, do you mind if we break into the museum?
Yeah. I think they left a lot of maple syrup and Tim Hortons cards for compensation.
Well, so. I mean, it would have been good compensation, okay, Rob.
Yeah, have you tried maple syrup lately? It's expensive.
It's
well,
yeah,
right?
It's worth more than gas.
If anything, we need some aliens to come down here and become more maple syrup producers, because it is getting expensive. It's a lost art. No, it people really just don't want to farm anymore. Like a lot of the bulk of our maple syrup comes from Quebec, which is the French-speaking province. We have a province that their language is primarily French, and it's in like Eastern Canada. And, you know, I honestly think that maple syrup production is becoming a lost art. So there you go, aliens. If you do come down here, we have jobs. We have jobs in the maple syrup production. Can they hear me? Because I am on my Android phone.
Yeah. Yeah. They're getting all this down.
They may actually just show up and talk to you in person. So just be chill about it. All right.
Yeah.
I'll be totally chill. It's fine. I mean, I'll probably offend them because I'm sure I've managed to offend both of you in the 10 minutes that we've been on. But, you know, that's just me. And they'll get used to it. The Canadians that aren't polite are very offensive.
So the question I have is, would you actually want to meet an alien? Like, would you actually want them to come down, right?
Well, it depends on the alien.
So bulk alien, right, can do interstellar travel. So obviously advanced, right? Able to survive in whatever environment. Like, he's cool. He's chill. He walks right on out. Now, is that a dude you want to meet?
Oh, why not?
I don't know, man. Smart guys always tend to kind of bore me.
Oh, see, there you go. You're like, I don't know. Do you got a bad guy in the back?
Yeah. Like, have you read Harry Potter? Have you watched Lord of the Rings? No.
You smoke it all? What's your position on heavy metal from the 90s?
Well, can I tell you? I mean, there's so many movies about bad aliens. How many movies are there about good aliens besides E.T.?
Oh man, that was the only one I could come up with.
Right? Like where is a movie where the aliens come down and they're like, no, look, we know that you've overpolluted the planet, you've killed off a bunch of the whales, especially you, Japan, not mentioning any names, but we know that you're dwindling rainforest, you've got heaps of garbage, all that. Let us help you out. First of all, we're going to load up a bunch of these non-recyclables, and we're going to take them, we're going to blast them into outer space at a planet we don't like. Then we're going to, I don't know, name some shit that we need help with. Interstellar help with, guys. Why am I doing all the work here?
Why would they do that? Like, why would they show up for, like, yeah, I just don't see.
I don't know, Rob. Why do people clean their cat litter boxes? Because they love their cats.
I don't think that's the reason. I don't think that's it.
Wasn't that basically the beginning of the plot of The Day the Earth Stood Still? Was it the aliens showed up and said, hey, we'd like to help you?
Yeah.
He said, screw you.
Yeah, we blew it. We used violence instead. And he unleashed his robot. His robot could, like, yeah, just destroyed everything. It was so...
But
that's,
like,
a great film, by the way.
But would these beings that have this super intelligence to the point where they could travel, you know, millions of miles across space, would they just come here to destroy the planet and harvest the humans as their food? Like, would they do that?
Well, I mean, if they have the ability to do whatever, like, we're limited food for them. It's not like that's not a, they might just want us off the planet so they could tear the planet apart and use its base components for, you know, whatever, a Dyson sphere or something.
Or maybe they would want to heal the planet, because it's part of an interstellar ecosystem.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Maybe they just want a vacation rental, and, you know, this seems like a pretty good location. It's far away from everything. It's quiet.
Somebody sold them a timeshare for the planet.
They're going to come with a massive planet-sized flea collar and some flea powder.
Yeah, we're more likely to end up pets then, right? Like,
I wouldn't mind being a pet. Have you seen my pets? Like, I'm looking at my cat right now. It does not.
Yeah, but you're a good pet owner. Like, man. My dog does not get to sleep on the bed. She's very upset with me.
Well, you're a horrible pet owner.
I am. I am terrible. Like, she has her own bed and treats that she loves, and but she wants to sleep on the bed, and I'm like, no. That's where
Well, you better hope that the aliens that come aren't
part of the kingdom. Sleep on the bed, right?
Yeah. They're going to be have a little Rob-sized bed.
Yeah.
Your new book is science fiction, Eric, you were saying. Can you tell us a bit of what it's about?
It's the first one that I'm writing is science fiction. So it's still in the editing phase, but yeah, it basically takes place on an abandoned alien space station where, you know, we've managed to spread out into the stars after we completely fucked up the planet here. And, you know, throughout the history of the past 400 or 500 years or so, you know, we found little bits and pieces of, you know, what they call the predecessors, but there's no idea what they look like. And so they managed to stumble across these three ships or space stations that are orbiting a black rock. And in true human fashion, no one's there, so the humans just move in. And turns out that the aliens are not entirely as dead as we thought that they were. And so I'll leave it at that point right now, so we don't kill the plot.
Oh, I love it.
That sounds kind of ominous.
Yeah. Like, you have a projected release date on this?
I'm in my final set of edits right now, and then I need to reach out and see if I can find some beta readers for it, and then start throwing it around, see if anybody's interested in publishing it. But we'll see, you know, how long that all takes.
Yeah, it's always a process.
It is.
Did you enjoy writing science fiction?
I did. It was actually a lot of fun doing it. It's interesting that I never bothered to write science fiction because that's primarily what I read.
Yeah.
I don't know how I wound up doing what I did.
And you have this history of like just being sort of involved in looking for aliens. I don't know anybody else who's actually done that, like just even as a joke, right? And with your mom sounds amazing.
She was pretty cool.
Yeah, she sounds pretty cool. Now, how did you find writing science fiction as compared to your other genres? Are you a plotter? Are you a pantser? How did it differ for you? Was there a different process, different research?
Not really different process or research so much. Basically, I came up with this idea of, you know, it's kind of Cthulhu meets Tron. And I started from that point and just really worked outward. And so wound up with body swapping happening and nanotechnology and all kinds of, you know, fun stuff, religious zealotry and stuff along those lines. So trying to bring in the Cthulhu mythos without using really Cthulhu. Because I think that's been played out, and the actual stories that Lovecraft wrote are tremendously cool, but god damn, that guy is hard to read. It's like reading stereo instructions.
At times, horribly racist. So
yeah, there is that too.
Yeah, I love Lovecraft, and as a person of color, I know I'm not supposed to. And his writing is very much manual, but his ideas are just, you know, his ideas just spark so much imagination and so much movement in the community. I actually went to his grave.
Oh, wow.
I went to Providence. I went to his grave. I love to visit all the graves of the dead writers that I like. And I went and, you know, I went and he didn't turn over. So that was a good sign.
But I bet he wanted to.
You know, he probably wanted to. And I kind of felt dirty after going. I was like, I don't know. But speaking of dirty, Rob.
Oh, is it that time again?
It is.
I'm so excited because this episode of Myth Behaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers, scents ranging from fruits to floral to musks to weird French names. The Diva offers a wide selection for maximum olfactory goodness. Bath bombs are offered with and without prizes inside and made using water-soluble dyes for no messy residue. Her remaining Halloween items are all marked down and make really cool treats. Utterly scientific surveys show trick or treaters choose bath bombs over full-size candy bars almost always, sometimes maybe. Her hand-painted Itsy Bitsy Spider and Defy Gravity bath bombs look and smell amazing. She only has a few of her very popular bubble bath potions and salt soaks in decorative glass bottles left. So go check those out before they're completely gone. In addition to the Halloween discount, get this, she's offering our listeners a 15% off discount code. Just use the code, and I'm not making this up, Stinky Rob. That code again is Stinky Rob. That's STINKYROB, all lowercase. Use code Stinky Rob for 15% off on everything at Bath Bomb Diva. And thanks, as always, to Bath Bomb Diva for sponsoring the show. Kari?
Excellent.
Isn't that awesome? I love them.
That is awesome. And I love Bath Bomb Divas. They have great product and great packaging.
Well, Eric, you're a bath man. Bath Bomb Divas should be right up your alley.
I actually don't really care that much for baths. I prefer showers.
It is.
Well, that's good to know.
It's hard for big people to get down and back up.
Yeah. Although we do have a pretty nice tub. We actually, when we moved in, the house we got has one of those tubs that has like the whirlpool stuff in it. Mm. But unfortunately, they didn't put enough electricity into the house so that when we turn that on, it actually tends to blow the breakers.
Oh man. That's something they don't tell you in science fiction books, right? Nobody ever fights with a house that's like, just quirky enough with the electricity.
So Eric, you're saying that this is your first science fiction book. Now, can you tell us a bit about your other books? I know that you've written ghost stories primarily. Is that correct?
I've written a lot of urban fantasy and I've written a lot of ghost stories. The one that was released, in April, was necromancy and vampires and gunfights. So not really ghost stories per se. Roadside Attractions was very much a ghost story. But it was a ghost story set inside of a convenience store out in the middle of nowhere in Arizona. And it also had devils and jackalopes and all kinds of other fun stuff.
It has a very Neil Gaiman kind of an air, I thought.
It was a fun book to read, write. I like to think it was a fun book to read as well. Although
it was
haven't
a fun book to read. I read that book,
yeah.
Roadside Attractions. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at some point... there may get a sequel to that one. I don't know. I'm still kind of kicking around ideas.
Yeah, a lot of your books are kind of open world where things could still go on happening.
Right. The trick is to figure out who to follow around in the sequel because there were so many important players in that last book.
Yeah. And some really great, like the couple characters, the ghost hunters. It's been a while since I read the book, but... they were a lot of fun.
They were a lot of fun to experiment with and work with. And that whole thing actually started from a short story that I wrote, which was based on the idea of I used to watch occasionally the ghost hunting shows, and I always thought, man, how cool would it be if they found something and it just kicked their asses?
So
that became the short story, and then I sprung board off of that into Roadside Attractions, which was a very different kind of story. But Security System was the original story that it was kind of springboarded off of.
So which ghost hunting shows did you watch?
You know, honestly, I couldn't tell you which ones they were. I happened to be flipping through channels and like, okay, well, here's a guy in a polo shirt that's three sizes too tight and he's got a lot of jewelry, so let's see what's going to happen here. And it turns out really not much of anything, but they were fun for a little while.
I used to watch Ghost Adventures a lot because Zach Bagans was so handsome. But now he's gotten older. But
those are the ones that the ghosts usually are attracted to, right? That's how it goes.
Did you say the ghosts or the girls?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I used to watch Ghost Adventures, but can I tell you, like, on Ghost Adventures anyway, every single time you're like, oh, there's a ghost. Oh, it touched me. Oh my god. And then, but you're like, every single time, dude, like every single show. So there's that many haunted locations in the world where you're getting poked and prodded and pinched by ghosts. So it kind of lost its traction after a while.
It's the polo shirt.
And you would think after getting poked in the ribs by a ghost after like the 50th time, it would be like, dude, just knock it off. We're trying to shoot
you. You'd think you'd get used to it. But you know, they never seem to, but they but what always confuses me is like people actually fall for it. People actually believe that they're going to these haunted locations and he's always like getting possessed, right? Oh, I'm getting possessed. Oh, I'm getting possessed. Like, come on. Have you not seen The Exorcist? That is not like,
I demand head spinning. And I demand pea soup.
Like that is not how it happens. Okay. I'm sorry. But it, you know, so I really love that concept of what if it actually did happen and it just kicked their butt. So I'm going to have to go back and read Roadside Attractions again. I didn't realize that was the origin.
Well, and what's great about Roadside Attractions is the ghost has a purpose, right? She's using what she's brand new. And, well, obviously, if you read the book, she's brand new to being a ghost. And so she's trying to figure out what she can and can't do and how all the rules apply. But she has a goal, and you would think most ghosts would have a goal once they, you know, once they realize what's going on, and poking people in the ribs is not like, how is that a goal?
I don't know. Like, why? Right. Like
if you can,
they're usually traumatized. They're not just staying around because they like the taste of hot dogs. Right.
Like if you can corporeally, you know, manifest, and like, why are you not leaving a message like, hey, ghost here, need a priest or a Buddhist monk to do an exorcism. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like where's the, no, they just randomly poke people, possess people, and then leave them alone. That's it. That's the goal.
But I do love a good ghost story, especially this time of year. So I've been watching, have you guys been watching the Guillermo, I'm so horrible with his name,
Guillermo del Toro's
Cabinet of Curiosities. Have you guys been watching that?
No, I have not.
No, you know, oh, I'm not Netflix. Watching that.
It is so good. I mean,
is
I love
so Del scary? Toro's work. Is it so scary? Yeah, you know, I'm not tuning in.
Well, it's Del Toro. Del Toro has.
I didn't watch Orphan either. I'm not. He's too good. I'm not watching that.
Orphan. I haven't seen Orphan.
Oh, you should see it then. I haven't watched it all because it's too much.
Which one is that one? Is that the one with the kid who like looks young, but she's not?
Again, didn't get all the way through. Like it was too much. I got like 15-20 minutes in and I'm like, nope, I'm out. And I noped right out.
Well, Del Toro actually wrote and made one of my favorite ghost stories of all time. And it's called The Devil's Backbone. And it's about a haunted orphanage in Mexico. And he wrote this movie and made the movie when he was, I think he was still in college, but it's absolutely fantastic. And it's classic sort of spooky, but not gory. Del Toro horror. But for anybody who's listening, if you're looking for a great Halloween watch over the weekend, definitely check out The Cabinet of Curiosities. It's fantastic. And Rob, I don't think you'd find it too scary.
Yeah, well.
Well, you might.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you get scared, like Scooby-Doo scared you.
Oh, man. Those ghosts every time. Those poor kids.
So how do you deal with this time of year? Do your kids dress up and go trick-or-treating?
Well, you know, it's helpful. Yeah, they do. My oldest hasn't for like, I don't know, 6 years or something. So he's 15. What? I don't know. Just one Halloween came around. I'm like, hey, you know, I was getting the jump on it. I'm like, hey, what do you want to be? He's like, oh, I'm not going trick-or-treating this year. I'm like, what? It's like, oh yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm like, okay. And I've never been able to figure out why. Now my other two, my younger two are like all about it. Cause dude, free candy. Like they get it. They have signed on.
Yeah.
But my oldest does not. But, you know, it helps to not believe in ghosts.
Well, I have a confession to make.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not a very big person. And we do a massive Halloween house out at Brody's brother's place where, like, he's done up the house. He spends all month putting stuff up. Brody has this costume where he wears stilts. He's 10 feet tall as a reaper. And I'm not going to lie, I have a costume, and I used to get Bob's girlfriend, like Brody's brother's girlfriend, to take me trick-or-treating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I have a costume, and it's a Linda Blair costume with a mask, and I wear a nightgown, and I'm not a very big person. So
sorry,
I was getting
that's awesome.
Candy. I know it's bad, though. And I was getting all this free candy, but then she stopped because one day I was trying to like stay in character, and then I was like, come on, Mom. And she was like, that's fucking it. Like, I'm not taking you anymore. She just called me Mom. It's not happening anymore. But now I'm old enough to go out by myself, so I'll probably go this year. I know it's bad, right? But I go like, you know, towards the end of the night. So most of the kids have gotten their candy. And
I love this story. Halloween. This is classic you, Kari. This is so
I love Halloween.
Now, Eric, I don't recall if you're a scary movie guy. I don't think you are.
You know, on and off again. I haven't come across a whole lot of movies that truly scared me. Some of them are really good. I don't really like the gore or the screaming just because it seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
But fun story. You know, my son and I watched American Werewolf in London last week. Oh. And it was the first time he'd seen it.
That was the first time you've seen it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was mind-blowing in 1982, I think, when I first saw it.
Oh, man, I was 10, and I watched that movie on repeat. I watch it at least once a year.
Yeah, the effects have held up remarkably well, considering what they had to go through to do it. And I was explaining to Kenneth, like, no, this is not CGI. Yeah. This is all practical effects. CGI
That's
wouldn't
Rick
come around
Baker.
For 10
That's
years,
Rick
at
Baker,
least.
That's Rick Baker, applying prosthetics and doing it scene by scene by scene.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. I've always kind of enjoyed it. It's, I think by today's standards, not like the greatest movie in the world, but the story is kind of interesting. I like how it just like, ba-boom, here's the story. And then when it's done, boom, there it's it is. Done. It's done.
Yeah.
So well, I guess I always got this delicious fear when they were at the slaughtered lamb and he says, stick to the road, stay off the moors. Mm-hmm. I just always like, and I remember when I went to England with my friends and we were driving around, I'd be like, stick to the road, stay off the moors. And they're like, we're in fucking London. Shut up. Like, stop saying
that. There are no moors in London.
Right. Because I kept saying it, but I was like, I waited my whole life to go to London and say that. There is no pub called the Slaughtered Lamb too. That was like one of the first things I checked out was like, hey, can we go to this pub? But they're like, no, actually that's not real.
Did they just hit you upside the head too? Like, knock it off, American.
No, I'm Canadian. They don't
know, but
treat us that way there.
It seems like an American thing to say.
No, it's a dumb Canadian girl. If you say A at the end of everything, they know.
Oh, they just know. That's
where's
just
that like, pub, eh? A? Yeah, so they.
Sorry.
So they know. Sorry. So is that your favorite horror movie, Eric?
I would say my favorite horror movie is probably The Thing.
Oh,
that's another good one.
But, you know. Arctic Outpost and Kurt Russell. Like,
yeah.
How can you go wrong?
But just
creeping
even
sense
contact.
Of paranoia.
Yes, yes. And that sense of isolation.
Right. And I even liked the prequel that they did to it. I thought they did a pretty good job with that one.
I didn't see the prequel.
What's that called?
It was also called The Thing, but it came out in 2000 something.
Oh.
Hold on, maybe I can ask Google.
Oh, interesting.
Shouldn't it be called like Pre-Thing?
Yeah,
not quite yet thing.
Or a thing. Nearly.
No, it was
thing.
Actually just called The Thing, It came out in 2011. Ah. And it was a direct prequel to the original Thing.
Huh.
So it goes into I think they actually had the alien spaceship in there, and it goes into the Norwegian camp.
Yeah.
And so you know, all of the things that
beginning
when they go through and there's all of the corpses and the frozen stuff.
Yeah.
It's how all of that happened.
How that came to be. Well, kind of like how Prometheus was sort of a prequel to Alien.
Yeah, but it wasn't very good.
No. Yeah. Why did I? Like, they could have done so much with that. I'm glad you said it. I'm glad it was you who said it, not me.
And then what was the second one that came out with that?
Because
Prometheus was the first one, and then they had
and then they did come out with another.
It was so unmemorable.
Yeah.
And that, there you go.
Alien Covenant.
Yeah, that's Covenant. Yeah.
But I mean, Alien, I mean, if you go back and watch Alien, that is a timeless classic that's held up extremely well, even better now with the whole female empowerment movement. We're finally getting, you know, a seat at the action table.
Prey was good.
Aliens was also a really good one. And then they just completely lost the thread.
Yeah.
Which one?
Aliens, I thought was a great movie. They're very different movies, but both brilliant in their own way. And then Alien 3 and 4 were just like, what? What are you guys doing here, man?
Yeah. I think Alien 3 and 4 were kind of like, well, we have a franchise. Let's beat this and get as much money as we can out of it.
Right.
Which was, you know, I mean, it's more of a business. That was more of a business decision than a movie.
Yeah.
Well, you know what was fun? The video game, Aliens versus Predator, was a great video game.
I never played the video game, but I did like the movie. I love the Predator movies. Did you guys watch Prey?
I loved Prey.
Oh, yeah.
So good. So good. Probably one of the best prequels ever.
Yeah, they did a great job with that. I actually liked the one with Adrian Brody, Predators. I thought that was great as well.
So good.
I felt that most of the Predator movies have been great.
Yeah, the more recent ones where they actually feature on the Predator, is they're okay. But Predators is really overlooked, and part of it is because they spent so much money on Lawrence Fishburne. But
really,
he's actually, if I recall, he headlines. They spent a massive amount on his salary because he was so big at the time, and he doesn't even show up until like 40 minutes in,
And he's only there for 15 minutes or right, something.
He's only there and then he's gone. And you're like, what happened to Lawrence Fishburne? So, but Adrian Brody does an excellent job in that. It's definitely worth watching if you're a fan. Like,
I'm going to have to watch. I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah. That's nobody has. Like, Eric and I are the only ones who saw it. So.
Okay.
Well, it's still one of the best sequences in there was watching the Yakuza guy with his samurai sword.
Yeah.
Facing down the predator.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Or one of the predators, I should say.
One of, there's three. There's actually three that run around in predators. And it's,
oh, so they've come together like on a good old boy hunting trip.
Four. There's a bunch of them. Yeah, it's like it's a training. I shouldn't say anything. just go watch the movie.
Just go find it and watch it. It's really good.
It's probably a free stream too on something like Tubi or something where you don't have to pay anything. Like nobody knows about it. It was underwhelming at the box office, but it's really good. Like, they had a really good premise. It's just a shame how it turned out. But yeah.
Well, so. I like Adrian Brody. I mean, I remember him from one of the M. Night Shyamalan movies. He's been in a couple actually, another great horror producer. Well, he was. I mean, Sixth Sense. I loved Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a great ghost story, and I loved Signs, which I thought was a great.
Awesome.
Oh man, I remember watching Signs and being so frightened afterwards that I went outside and sat in the treehouse that was in the backyard and just quivered with a flashlight and was like every sound, because I just that feeling of isolation and aliens and that's hands down one of my favorite one of the best alien movies in my opinion. And then basically everything he kind of did after that went downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbreakable was good. I really enjoyed Unbreakable.
Yeah. You know, come to think of it, that was good. Okay. I take that back then after Unbreakable. Did you watch Split?
I have not. I've heard that it was really good though.
I saw part of it. I have to finish it. My problem is I put movies on and I fall asleep.
That's a problem.
Until the end of the day.
Sounds like a perfect evening.
Yeah, no, I'm always falling asleep, but Split was good, and I saw of it, but I watched the other one. No, wait, Split was the one he did one with the guy from Split and the guy from Unbreakable. I don't think it was.
Yeah, Glass.
Glass. That's the one that I want to watch. Split, I watched and it was really good. Glass, yeah. I watched part of it. It was great. I like that whole what is it like that. Storyline, the Split, Glass, Unbreakable. He's done well with that one. But I watched this other one that he put out about the Sundowners. I can't remember, was called The Grandparents or something. It was kind of trash. I thought The Village was kind of silly.
The Village was so predictable.
Yeah.
It had some scary moments. I jumped a little in The Village. That was, yeah.
And then what was the one where the trees were killing everybody except the people that had good thoughts?
Oh,
that one. I don't remember. Yeah, but I remember. The
Wahlberg.
Yeah, what was it called? Not the Awakening.
Awakening. I think it was Awakening.
The Happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept waiting for something to happen.
Which sounds like an old Kevin Kline movie from the 70s, right? Where you're like, are they going to smoke? Are they going to smoke pot and talk about college days now? What is this? Good stuff. Happening. Yeah.
I think the all time ultimate horror movie for me is The Exorcist.
The Exorcist was good. I enjoyed that one. I really actually enjoyed the very first Paranormal Activity. I thought the slow burn on that was brilliant.
That was great. I all the Paranormal Activity movies.
I heard it was so good and I didn't watch it.
You didn't? Oh, well,
I don't want to. Oh man, those are too much. When I know that they're good and well done, I'm not watching it. Like I did not see it. I think the last horror movie that I actively sought out was Cabin in the Woods, which everybody should watch, by the way.
Oh God, that was great.
So
that was great though, but that was more like,
but it's not really horror. Yeah.
No. Yeah, but it is.
It's horror adjacent. It's its own thing, but no, I can't do it. I love movies so much. I get so wrapped into it. It's like reading books. Like when I read Eric's books, it's like, oh man, you just know, like, and the sarcasm is so great. And I'm just going to die laughing throughout and be really nervous about everything. And how is this all going to come together? Yeah. Books or movies do the same thing to me. And I am in that world. And yeah, so horror doesn't do it for me at all because I don't want to be scared.
Oh, see, and I love horror. And I'm not sure why, because I can barely look at the screen half the time. So, Brody's actually looked at me and said, why are you even watching this? You're not looking at the screen.
I asked my wife about this because she doesn't like horror either. But she's like, oh, yeah, girls, a lot of girls like it. And it's often because the female protagonist is the lead and mostly survives. So you actually get to see like growth through a character in a genre that's all about exploitation.
That's an interesting, I can't explain it because so many women do like horror and true crime.
Yeah.
You know, we're all up in here watching these true crime videos and then going to the store at 10 o'clock at night and being in the parking lot freaked out and wondering why we're so scared all the time. But I think that honestly, people like to be scared in the safety of their own home because it is sort of an adrenaline rush. It's a feeling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that there's no actual consequences, right?
Yeah. Except for not being able to sleep that night,
right?
Well, right, and that's, you know, that's sort of self-induced. But we women live in a lot more fear than men really understand. And as a man, you can't understand because you aren't a woman, right? So I get that. Mm-hmm. But like Brody gets so upset with me. Okay, so for example, I'm home alone. I lock the door.
Yep.
Brody gets like, why did you lock me out? And it's like, well, I didn't lock you out. I locked myself in. He's like, well, why do you do that? It's like, why do you think women get abducted out of their homes?
Yeah, because you're 4 foot nothing. And
right? Eating my bag of candy. Here I am eating my bag of candy, minding my own business. And some alien comes in and abducts me. Right?
That's exactly so,
But it's, I think like for women, it's a safe fear.
Yeah.
Right? It's a safe fear as opposed to when we are leaving the store at 9 o'clock at night or leaving work or in the underground parking lot or the millions of places women get snatched and assaulted and, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the scariest thing of all.
Yeah.
So it's a contained, safe terror.
Yeah.
Why would we want that? I have no idea. That's probably another show. But
yeah, let's put that on the list.
Why women love to be scared?
Yep.
Why women seek being frightened? Yeah, that's not bad. We can probably find somebody who wrote like a psychiatry book about it.
Yeah.
We could probably ask Daniela Shepherd. She's written a couple of good horror books. She might be able to fill you in with some insight.
Daniela Shepherd? Okay, we will. Who is she? Have you read her stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she writes a lot of basically monster stories set up in Alaska because that's where she lives. So it's kind of a trip to read those.
Oh, wow.
That's your favorite stuff. I'm surprised you don't know this name. You know, I don't know it because I don't seek it, but I'm surprised you don't know it.
No, I don't. Like,
You love that stuff.
I'm going to definitely check her out because, you know, there really aren't a lot of women horror writers.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Stephen and Rice. Okay. But she's more gothic, sort of sexy, hot, vampire-y witch, you know. I never found the Vampire Lestat or any of that series particularly horrifying. I'll definitely check out Daniela Shepherd, but I can't really think of a lot of female horror writers other than like, what's her name, who wrote The Haunting of Shirley Jackson?
Yeah.
Was one.
Remind me on Facebook and I'll introduce you to them.
Oh, you know her. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's 10 to the hour, Rob.
The witching hour. Let's say it's 10 to the witching hour. So, and you have business. So, yeah.
That's it. It is what it is, folks. And so we're wrapping up the October show with the lovely Eric Lady.
Hey, Eric, where do people find you?
I am on Twitter under Eric Lottie 1. Facebook, I think it's eric.a.lottie is the extension, or Eric Lottie author, I forget which. I'll find it eventually. Twitter is the easiest place to find me these days, although that's provided I don't get banned under the new management, so we'll see how that all plays out. And of course, on Amazon as well, so you can find everything I've written on Amazon, and then I've got other stuff scattered around. So if you don't particularly like Amazon, I think I'm on Barnes & Noble and most of the other places. Just search for my name or just reach out to me. I'm at eric.a.lottie@gmail.com.
And we will share those links and that address on the Myth Behaving Facebook page, so you can find Eric's books and Eric himself on Twitter easier than trying to remember everything he just said.
Yep, linking in the description.
And until November, everybody stay safe. Have a safe and happy Halloween.
Be spooky.
And we keep reading, and we will see you in November.
Thank you guys very much. Have a very safe and happy Halloween, and scare some kids.
And get lots of candy.
Darn tootin'.
Thanks, Eric. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, guys.